We're going to jump into the Sermon on the Mount, continue in it, and today there's going to be a lot of recap, really, going back to some of the previous lessons that Jesus has taught us from the Sermon on the Mount, some of the previous things that we have talked about, because what Jesus is getting to now at the part of the Sermon on the Mount he's on is he's telling us how to tell when something is wrong. When I thought about that title or thought about that topic, I thought about how technology has really helped us today with letting us know when something is wrong. In our cars, the check engine light comes on. Our cars are so computerized now that they know exactly what's going on. So if something's not right in the engine or in any really part of the car, there is a check engine light comes on. Or if you're like my wife, the gas light comes on every week. My dad always tells me never let it get to the point where the gas light's coming on, but my wife decides to take it down to a mile or two left. I hate it, though, when the check engine light comes on because that means something is wrong, and you've got to diagnose what is wrong. I thought about in our nation, when something is wrong, like maybe severe weather, they have all types of ways to get a hold of us. They put it on the TV. There's an alert that comes through our phone. It comes through the radio, it comes through Facebook, it comes through all these ways. Now even my Alexa at home will go off when there is a severe weather alert for our area. Same thing with Amber Alerts, same thing with national emergencies. They know how to get a hold of us, and they will get a hold of us in some way. One of the pieces of technology that I really like for myself that tells me when something is wrong is my watch. Nowadays, our watches, if you have an Apple Watch, the real watch, if you have an Apple Watch, it tells you a lot about you. So right now, it's reading my blood oxygen level. So if my blood oxygen level gets low, it will tell me if something's wrong. It's reading my heart rate. It reads my resting heart rate throughout the day to see. I can normally tell if I'm getting sick if my resting heart rate begins to rise. And then sure enough, I get sick or I'm super stressed or whatever it may be. When you exercise, it tells you which zone you need to be in order to burn more fat or to get more cardio workout. This watch even does like an EKG on it. So if I started to feel something was wrong, you can do EKG. Now, how accurate all that is, I don't know. But it is a way for me to tell when something is wrong with my body. And so Jesus, at this point, he's wanting to tell us how to recognize when something is wrong in our life and in other people's lives. In the context here, Jesus is specifically talking about how to recognize when something is wrong in someone else's life. And he specifically starts off by warning us about false prophets. So last week we talked about the wide gate and the narrow gate, and I read this scripture because I thought it went along with what Jesus was saying here, but I want to read it again and then we're going to dive into what he says here. He says in Matthew 7, 15 through 16a, the first part of verse 16, he says this, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." So there he tells us, you will recognize them by their fruits. So what is fruit? I've defined that that definition multiple ways over my ministry. And in this context, I used to say that fruit is what is good that is produced in our life. But in this context, Jesus is saying that there's bad fruit and there's good fruit. So really, fruit is what is produced from our life. So when you think about fruit, think about production. Just as a tree or a vine or a plant produces leaves and flowers and fruit, our life produces things as well. In other words, he's telling us to look at what a prophet, a teacher, a pastor is producing in their life, and it can serve as a warning light for you. Their fruit will tell you if they are good or bad. So why would Jesus be telling us this? Well, it goes back to what Jesus was talking about with judging. We read it a few weeks ago, and initially it looks like Jesus is telling us not to judge. But then when you really dive into it and you really dive at what Jesus said and then you combine it with this, what he is telling us is that we are to make judgments on people based off what they produce in life. He said, you're to look at that false prophet and you are to recognize them by their fruit. So you look at what they're producing in their life and you judge if that fruit is good or bad, and that tells you what you need to do in response to them. Now, let's go back to the judgment sermon, though. We don't make judgments to tear other people down. We don't make judgments to condemn them. Remember, we talked about how that's not our job. That's only God's job. We do make judgments, though, to try to help them. We make judgments because we always want good for them, and we ultimately want to protect ourselves. So when dealing with a false prophet, we make that judgment in order to determine our course of action. So if, when it comes to a false prophet, you don't need to listen to what they're saying if their fruits aren't good. And boy, we're going to talk later about how many false prophets are out there today. With the invention of social media, and now after COVID, about every church has their sermons online. We see so often teachings that do not align with God's word. And Jesus would say, look at their fruit, make a judgment on that. And if they're a false prophet, you better not be listening to them. You better not be sitting under their teaching. Because they could lead you, going back to last week, they could lead you through the wide gate to destruction by making you believe it's the narrow gate that leads to life. So Jesus does want us to look at people's fruit and use that as our basis of judgment. And here is why. It's because what we see on the outside, or the fruits, they are an indication of what is happening on the inside, or the tree, is what the analogy Jesus uses here. So we're going to work through this verse by verse because, number one, I struggled with the structure of this message, and I decided to just simplify and go verse by verse to talk about what Jesus said. So in verse 16, basically Jesus tells us that whatever type of tree it is, we can expect it to produce that type of fruit. So he says this, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? That's a simple way of saying you can expect that type of tree to produce that type of fruit. So if it is a grapevine, you can expect it to produce grapes. If it's a fig tree, you can expect it to produce figs. So when I was little, I stayed at my grandma's house often because my mom taught at Tabernacle Elementary and grandma's house was on the way. And at grandma's, I loved eating their figs. They had a fig tree. I loved eating their figs. My grandpa would even dehydrate the figs, and so that you can enjoy them later. But I love figs. In fact, I mow at a house right now that has a fig tree, and sometimes I'll pick a fig off and eat it while I'm mowing if I'm hungry. I love figs. Grandma also had a lemon tree, and there was just something about Grandma's lemon tree that made it produce the best lemons for lemonade. Now, the truth is, there's probably nothing special about those lemons. It's probably because it's grandma's lemon tree. And it's grandma's lemon, so it made that lemonade taste that much better. But my goodness, it is so good. And now that lemon tree is at my parents' house, and for some reason it's not producing as much lemons as it used to. Might be a condemnation on mom there. We'll make a judgment on mom and say she can't take care of the plants. The other thing I liked for grandma's was pears. I loved grandma's pears, and then my great aunt would also give me pears. And there was something about those pears. I do not like pears from the grocery store. They have to be grandma's pears or my Aunt Peggy's pears. I love their pears, but I hate the store-bought pears. Now, what would happen if we went up to the fig tree and we saw that it was producing lemons? Or if we went up to the lemon tree and saw it was producing figs? We would have said there was something wrong with that tree. We probably would have put it in Ripley's Believe It or Not or something, but we would have said something is wrong. We would expect a lemon tree to produce lemons, a fig tree to produce figs. What Jesus is saying here is that someone who's claiming to be a follower of God, someone who's claiming to be a follower of Jesus, should be producing fruit that is in line with what God has taught. Basically, he's saying, hey, you should be teaching, you should be living out what we've been covering during the Sermon on the Mount. But then Jesus makes clear to us that trees can produce two types of fruit. That fruit can be good, or that fruit can be bad. Here's what he said in verse 17. Every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. There he's making the connection. First time he mentions the tree here. Can anything produce fruit without the tree or the vine or the main part? No. It has to be connected into a root system in order to produce the fruit, get the nutrients up into it. So I can't take a branch out here and put it in the ground and expect it to become a tree. You have to have the core part. So for me, I think the tree, when I think about the core part of us, or initially I had here that the tree represented our inner life. And then I went through my sermon and I decided to change it to the most inner part of us, which would be our spiritual life. I think the tree here represents our spiritual life, our soul. When you think about the most inward part of you, it's the soul. It's your spiritual life. And so what our spiritual life is like, if it's good, we can expect good fruit. If it's bad, we can expect bad fruit. So if we have a healthy spiritual life, it's going to produce good fruit on the outside. But if we have an unhealthy spiritual life, it's going to produce bad fruit on the outside. What Jesus is making clear to us is that our spiritual life affects our actions and who we are in the world. So now we get to the part where Jesus gives us a warning sign. He says, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. That's verse 18. He says, if the fruit is bad, then it's probably coming from a bad tree, not a good one. A good tree is a tree that's going to have a healthy spiritual life that's producing good things. A bad tree is a tree that doesn't have a healthy spiritual life. So you can recognize someone by their fruits. So let's go back to the gate teaching of last week. We talked about how Jesus is the only way through the narrow gate. In fact, he is the gate. That's how we have a healthy spiritual life. So the only way we have a healthy spiritual life is by following Jesus. So if we claim to follow God, but we are producing bad fruit, Jesus is making clear that there is a problem. Because a good tree should not be producing bad fruit. So then let's put ourselves in the seats of his original listeners. This would have hit home with many of them. Because many of his listeners probably claimed to be followers of God. But they were probably struggling with producing good fruit. What his original listeners were probably discovering is that no matter how hard we try, we can't produce good fruit ourselves. That's the narrative of the Old Testament. That's what the narrative of God's people in the Old Testament tells us. If you go back towards the beginning of the Old Testament, God gives them the law. Now, the law would have basically been telling them what type of fruit they should be producing in their life. That they should be living this way, they shouldn't be doing this, they should be doing this, so on and so forth. So he gave them what it looks like to produce the fruit, but what they discovered is that they couldn't accomplish those things, they couldn't produce that fruit themselves. And that truth is the same for us. No matter how hard we try, we can't produce the good fruit like God wants us to in our own power. We're also messed up by sin, by the original fall of Adam and Eve. And because we're so messed up by sin, there is nothing good that resides in ourselves. That's why we need help. And Jesus, in this passage, does not address how to get that help in order to produce good fruit. Because what Jesus is basically wanting us to understand is, hey, look at the fruits of the people that you're around. Look at the fruits of the people you're listening to. And you can judge them by their fruits. But if I'm going to give a whole look at what Jesus is saying here, I want to talk to you about how to produce good fruit in our lives. Because Jesus does address that elsewhere. The most clear section that Jesus addresses this is in John chapter 15. One of my favorite chapters in all the Bible. If you're familiar with this chapter, is where Jesus compares himself to the vine. And he says, we are the branches. Here's what he said in verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. So Jesus is the vine, so if we take his analogy going back to the Sermon on the Mount, the vine here would represent the tree, we would be the branches, but it's ultimately the branches that hold the fruit. So he's telling us that we have to be connected to the vine, just like any branch does, has to be connected to the tree, has to be connected to the vine in order to produce fruit. We have to be connected to the vine in order to produce fruit. So what he's telling us here is that to produce a good fruit, you have to have a close connection with Jesus. Does it get any closer of a connection than a vine to the branches? No, it's literally connected. They're actually, all the nutrients and stuff goes through into the branches. What Jesus is telling us here, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. He's telling us it is impossible to regularly produce good fruit without that connection to Jesus. Why is that the case? It's because Jesus is the only one that truly is good. We around here will say that man, that's a good person right there. But really, we all have fallen short of the glory of God. The only good person to ever live is Jesus. So we have to be connected to the one that is truly good in order to produce good consistently ourselves. So just as the vine empowers the branches, Jesus empowers us to produce fruit. So how do we build that connection? Well, it obviously first starts with salvation. It starts with repenting of our sins and choosing to follow Jesus. And then once that connection is started, it is strengthened and nurtured, not through a religious-based law, but through a relationship, through spending time with Jesus, through spending time and building that connection to get it closer. See, what happened in the Old Testament was he gave them all the fruits they should be producing, but they couldn't do it. So now what he says is, hey, get close to me and I'll help you to produce the fruits. So this is why you'll hear churches and pastors encourage you to pray. That's part of a relationship. What would happen in your relationships if you didn't talk to the other person? The relationship wouldn't last very long. And so when we are encouraging you to pray, when the Bible tells you to pray without ceasing, it's in order to build that relationship, build that connection. Same thing with Bible reading. One of the best ways to build a connection is by looking at his word, looking at what he taught us in his word, learning who he is and what he's about. Other means of grace is what we would call them is fasting, giving up something in order to follow God. Meditation, choosing to meditate on the scripture, spend time with God. Communion, what we did last week, eating the bread and the wine or grape juice in remembrance of Jesus, that is a means of grace. We believe God meets with us in a special way during that time. One of the ways that I think a lot of people in our church like to grow closer to God is through worship. There's something about singing songs to him, especially corporate worship. I believe this brings you closer to him. Any type of spiritual discipline that builds that relationship empowers us, gets that connection closer, and enables us to produce more fruit. That fruit positively affects other people. What God does in us, the work he does in us, is called sanctification. Salvation is when you follow Jesus, you declare you repent of your sins, you declare that you believe in Jesus, and you follow him. But sanctification is the work that God does in us to make us more Christ-like. And when he's making us more Christ-like, Christ is the only one that was ever good. So what he's doing is he's making us more good so that we can produce more good in the world through our fruit that we should be producing from being connected to the vine. And then part of that fruit that we should be producing is disciples of Jesus. He told us to go and make disciples of all nations. So any person that is connected to the vine should be making disciples. And that made me think, what is fruit? What does fruit contain? Seeds. So what we should be doing is we should be reproducing. That's the whole purpose of the fruit, is so that it reproduces. We should be reproducing other disciples because of the fruit that we are producing in our life. Does that make sense? So let me hit you with something here. If this is how it works, then why aren't we seeing more disciples of Jesus being made? This is pretty simple. Get close to Jesus, you produce more fruit. If this is how it works, then why are there somewhere between 27,000 and 37,000 people within 10 miles of us right now that don't know Jesus? Why is it when we turn on the news, we see so much hatred, death, and division in this world if this is how it works? Could it be because something isn't right with our trees? Or to go to the analogy in John 15, could it be that something isn't right with the branches? Is it that our connection with Jesus is not right? And if something isn't right with the tree or the branches, whose fault is it? I can tell you, it's not Jesus's. The fault is ours and ours alone. And this is the point of this part on the Sermon on the Mount, is for us to examine ourselves and others in a way to see if something is wrong. And I hate to say it, but there is. There is something majorly wrong with the church, specifically in America today. There are plenty of Christians producing bad fruit. There are bad church leaders teaching false things, treating people badly, living in bad ways. You can turn on the TV and you can see a televangelist, probably definitely on a Sunday morning, telling all these listeners that if they donate $1,000 to his ministry, they're going to get $10,000 in return. Or if they buy this prayer blanket that probably costs them $10 to make, they buy it for $100, they're going to see their prayers answered. And then they're driving around in fancy cars. They're flying around the country on their jets that all these people paid for, because they're getting tricked into giving money. There is a pastor on Easter Sunday here in North Carolina at one of our mega churches that wore a $2,000 sweater. And that sweater had more holes in it than any of my clothes ever has. Those holes should have made it $2 versus $2,000. But he wore a $2,000 sweater, lives in a mansion. It does not sound like someone who is taking Jesus' teachings of not storing up treasures on earth very seriously. There's a podcast that I listened to a few years ago. It's about a church out in Seattle, a mega church that was out in Seattle. They were growing very rapidly. Actually started a church planning network, all this stuff. And they eventually went under. And what they discovered through some investigations is that the pastor was treating his employees just horrible, cussing them out behind the scenes, intimidating them, just a lot of nasty stuff that you would not expect from someone that claims to be a follower of God. And if you ever look it up at what church I'm talking about, he actually just made the news here in the last couple weeks as well. I heard a pastor the other day, I follow a page on Facebook that will point out things that are wrong. I heard a pastor the other day cuss on stage and then proceed to get onto the church for being bothered that he was cussing on stage. There are pastors that I've seen teach that tells you not to believe every word in the Word of God. I've heard them say some things that are just completely contrary to what God taught. There are tons of false prophets out today. And Jesus is telling us you will recognize them by their fruits. When you recognize them by their fruits, you might want to get away. It's all about Christians, not even church leaders. Just Christians acting badly in their homes. Bless me. Acting badly in their homes, in their workplaces, in public, treating their family bad, treating their spouse bad. I don't even have to give you examples of that because I think you can see that. All of this does such great harm to Christianity and to the cause of Christ. This is why people don't want anything to do with church. This is why people don't want to hear about Christianity. This is why they don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. They are doing harm. Just as Jesus said, these people are like ravenous wolves. These people are doing harms to the cause of Christ. And so we typically, I read this and I typically focus on how Jesus says there's good fruit and there's bad fruit. But I think there might be another option here that's just as dangerous that we need to bring up. Here's what he says in Matthew 7:19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. That tells me right there, and when I think about my plants, when I think about that lemon tree at my parents' house, it is possible for a tree to still be alive and not produce fruit. It is possible for a person, I think Jesus is telling us here, that yes, if it's not producing good fruit, it's going to be cut down and thrown in the fire. So we can assume he's just talking about bad fruit. But there are a lot of Christians that are just producing no fruit at all. There are a lot of people who are not necessarily hurting the cause of Christ by acting a fool, but they're also not helping the cause of Christ because they're not out producing any fruit. They're not doing the good that God has called us to do. They're kind of neutral when you're looking at them of having a positive or negative effect. They're not adding to this world or to the church, but they're not hurting anything either. And we often overlook them because they seem pretty good on the outside. They do things we expect them to do. They go to church on Sunday morning. They give some money when the offering plate comes around. They don't do anything really bad. Yet what did Jesus say there? He said, anyone that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. The church in America is filled with people who fit this description. That book I read a few weeks ago called them unsaved Christians. And Jesus says that their judgment is the same judgment that he's going to give to those who produce bad fruit. They will be cut down and thrown into the fire. And what Jesus is telling us there is that they will experience death. They will experience death and they will experience destruction, because what he's talking about there is the lake of fire. He is foreshadowing that their destination is hell. And so when you look at this, this is a sobering truth for me, because when there is someone who claims to be a follower of God and they're producing bad fruit and they're creating more evil in the world, I can somewhat justify in my brain that they deserve hell. But when Jesus presents this truth to us, that even those that aren't necessarily adding bad to the world, they're going to get the same punishment. That's the truth he presents to us, and that's a sobering truth. He's telling us you don't get by simply not being that bad. Yet that is a truth that many people, specifically in this area, believe. There are many people that believe good people go to heaven. And when I say good people, it's exactly the statement I made earlier. Hey, he's a good guy. Or she's a good woman. And what we mean by that is they don't do anything real bad. They're easy to be around. They might go to church on Sunday morning. They're pretty good people. And we think that good people go to heaven. But here is the truth. You don't get to heaven unless you know Jesus. You don't go to heaven because you're good. You go to heaven because you know Jesus. He is the gate. He's the only way you get in. As we talked about last week, you get in based off of who you know, not what you've done. You get in based off of who you know, so you've got to know Jesus. That's the only way you get in. Matthew 7:20, Jesus says, "So then you will know them by their fruits." Make your judgments on others based off of their fruits. Are they producing good fruit? Are they producing bad fruit? Or is there just no fruit being produced at all? So then the question is, now what do we do? He says you'll know them by their fruits, and then he doesn't tell us what to do with that. He kind of already did, though. Jesus wants us really go back to what he said on the sermon about judging. So if we judge their fruit as good, we need to get close to them. One of the best teachings I ever heard was from the general superintendent of the Wesleyan Church at a conference we went to a few years ago. And he said something that stuck with me. He says, there are people who add to your life, and there are people who drain your life. And someone just came to mind when I said both of those statements. If they drain your life, you might need to get some distance between you and them. But if they add to your life, you might want to get closer to them. So if they're producing good fruit, they probably add to your life, you need to get closer to them. What do we do if they're producing bad fruit? The answer is to disciple them. Jesus tells us that if a brother sins against us, we are to go speak to them one-on-one in private. And then, once we speak to them one-on-one in private, if they repent, you've gained a brother. But if they have not repented, then you bring two or three others with you. And then if they still haven't repented, you bring it to the church. And if they still don't repent, eventually you just get away from them. That was the setup that Jesus laid out for us in order to disciple people and to point out when they have maybe bad fruit in their life. Then if we judge if there is no fruit being produced at all, we may want to make them aware of that. It's actually pretty hard not to produce any fruit at all, because at the core you are messed up, so you're probably producing bad fruit and you don't even realize it. We need to speak to them and make clear, hey, well, I'm not here to condemn you. I just want you to know I don't see any fruit being produced in your life. You might want to pray about it, ask God what's happening. But now, what did we talk about when we talked about the judging? We don't judge others without first judging ourselves. So that's what we need to do to end today. We need to look at ourselves and ask ourselves these questions. Am I producing good fruit, bad fruit, or no fruit? What would my friends, my family, and my coworkers say? What would my fellow church members say? What is the Spirit telling me right now? At home, I have a lot of houseplants, probably more than Sarah would like. And sometimes the houseplants don't produce like they should. Sometimes they produce leaves that are bad. And sometimes they don't produce at all. I have one that's just a stalk right now. Nothing coming out of it. Still alive, but nothing coming out of it. Their production determines my actions. So if they are doing good, I'm going to keep showing them care. Like I have been showing them. Keep watering them once every week or once every 2 weeks, ever how much I've been showing them that care. But if they're looking bad or if they're not producing anything at all, I need to figure out what I need to do differently, don't I? So your production today, the way you answered those questions, should determine your actions from here. So if you sense that the Spirit is saying you are producing good fruit, great job. Keep it up. Keep doing what you're doing. But if you sense the Spirit saying you aren't, then work on it. Build that connection with Jesus. That's the only way you can produce more fruit. With my plants, as long as there is a little bit of life, I keep working on them. But as soon as there is no life at all, what do? I throw them out. The truth is the same spiritually. As long as you're alive, as long as you have breath, which everybody in this room does, Jesus can still do a work in you. But it's after that last breath is done. If the work hadn't been done before, if we've not built this connection before, Jesus tells us that they will be thrown out. The good news for you today, though, is you still have life. So ask God to do the work in you. So when you look at your life as the worship team comes up, do you see any warning signs? Do you claim to be a follower of Jesus or a good tree, but aren't producing no fruit or bad fruit? Or maybe you're here today and you are producing good fruit, but it's not a lot. Because, you know, here's what Jesus said in John 15:5. Let's go back to that. He who remains in me and I in him doesn't bear a little fruit, bears much fruit. So maybe we're not bearing as much fruit as we should be bearing. And we need to ask God to do a work in us. We need to build that connection and get closer to him. If you're like me today, this is a convicting sermon. But I want to remind you today that you still have time to get it right. You still have time to build that connection. You still have time to get closer. To do the things, read your Bible, pray, do things like you would do in a relationship. To get closer to Jesus so that Jesus can produce much fruit in you. So if you will, stand to your feet. We're going to sing one last song here. And I want to invite you to come to the altar to pray, to seek him, to ask him to do a work in you. If you are convicted at any part today, hey, I'm not producing fruit like I should. Hey, I know that I'm not producing much fruit, or hey, I'm producing bad fruit. Hey, I need help. The altar's open, and God's ready to meet with you. You still have life today, don't you? So he hasn't thrown you out yet. So ask him to